Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine. It's February 16th. A lot of great questions tonight. I think many people who are awake are beginning to realize how very serious our situation is. So let's just dive in. Cash and precious metals. Catherine, what do you think about this asset-based crypto? Quintric, know nothing about it. I will take a look, but it's a new one to me. It's very much on my scheduled to take a new deep dive on cryptos, particularly central bank digital cryptos. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in money and markets this week. Catherine, I've been a subscriber for 2 or 3 months and I'm no longer shocked by what I learned. However, my struggle is determining my starting point. So then you describe your financial situation. And of course, the question is, where do you go? Your advice, recommendations are greatly appreciated. It's impossible for me to make recommendations without knowing a tremendous amount about your unique situation, far more than you described. But here's the two things I would start. I would read the commentary, Rethinking Diversification. You can just pick it up on a search. We'll put a link in the notes for this Ask Catherine. And then I would go to the first quarter 2020 equity overview. And the second half, I go through all the different asset allocations. And I think the question is, how much do you want to be dependent on the financial system? One of the things I'll talk more about in money and markets is I think one possibility is we could be facing bail-ins where basically they either shut down the banks or say, unless you do exactly what you're told, you can't transact using the banking system or you can't, you know, access your assets. Literally, when the rape of Russia happened in the early 90s, they basically just emptied out the banks and the pension funds, and the same thing could happen here. If you look at how much money they've raised in blind pools and cash, that money's going to go a lot further, you know, once they, or if they crash the economy even further. So I think there are many different scenarios, but one thing is how much can you provide for yourself outside of the financial institutions? Food, energy, shelter. You say your house is paid off. That's very good. The question is, how many years can you live without accessing assets that are in the bank or the brokerage system? And how can we build more resiliency and liquidity outside? That's now, you know, that's sort of a gun searing down the face. I was thinking the bail-ins wouldn't come until 2022 or 2023, but there's more and more indications that the establishment is very emboldened by the success of the sort of propaganda and mind control, and so they could go for bail-ins as soon as this year. I don't think their crypto systems are ready, and of course, one possibility at that point is that cryptos may provide some kind of liquidity or the opposite, because it is ultimately building our prison. My kids are making fun of me. I keep changing my advice. In 2008, my advisor, who was one of a kind, told me not to worry, keep investing, because I was young and could weather the storm. Is that sage advice in this crisis? Or is it wise for all ages to hold gold, even if they take a hit for early withdrawal? Again, I would recommend you take a look at Rethinking Diversification and the Equity Overview, first quarter 2020. My daughter, age 26, went from 9 to 20,000K. She must have been doing Bitcoin. I think this is funny money, so thought she should skim off 5 to 7 for gold bars. But if this is like 2008 advice I received, I would tell her not to pay me the monthly house payment. We are the banker and invest that in the markets while the pump up is going on. Any advice on how to unpack this? Well, maybe she was doing stock market if it was 9 to 20. There are, John Titus and I talk in Money and Markets about whether or not this is a bubble that will crash and burn or pop, or this is simply people raising capital and anticipating the fact that they're going to have a shopping spree at our expense. And so again, I think one thing that's extremely important to do is make sure you have plenty of provision outside of the or you have plenty of resiliency outside of the financial institution. So one thing I like to do in a situation where you're getting this extraordinary inflation is to play from your winnings. So I like to get my capital out and play from my winnings, but I'm extremely conservative. Comment, local action at work on sound money. So information, the Idaho State House today overwhelmingly approved a bill which enables the state treasurer to protect state reserve funds from inflation and financial risk by holding physical gold and silver. Part of this is it's what we saw Texas do, some other states doing. And this is part of the plan, I believe, to break up the United States as a way of getting out of the liabilities. One of the things you note, the possibility of borrowing on your precious metal holdings, I really discourage that because precious metals are there for the worst case. The last thing you want is to get in a debt entrapment with them. Okay, let's turn to the COVID-19 category. Hello, Catherine. Thank you for your amazing work. I am a nurse in a level 1 trauma center. I'm one of the few that refuses to vaccinate. The divide is deepening. I'm uncertain how much longer I'll be able to maintain working as Alice in Wonderland. I am no longer working in the operating room. I'm now working in pre-op where I can help with teaching and anxiety for our preoperative patients. However, due to the polarity of vaxxers and non-vaxxers, the majority, I'm uncertain how much longer it will be safe. One thing I would tell you is this is a situation in prayer where prayer can really, really help. And you want to pray for the people who feel strongly about vaccination. They're under very heavy mind control and propaganda and fear. So prayer really helps when you pray for the people who are threatening you. Anyway, so I would strongly recommend that. I moved here almost a year ago for my teen son to be in a particular high school program. I need to find a non-COVID cult community. If you can please direct me, that would be greatly appreciated. So this is a problem that is getting reported to me everywhere throughout the G7, throughout Europe and the US and the Anglo-American Commonwealth. So it's everywhere. I've found the best chance is in the heartland, in the Christian communities, or very much the rural areas in the heartland. So the Dakotas, parts of Texas, Tennessee, Montana. But you have to find clusters. And really, the issue is who is immune to the entrainment and the propaganda, and also the dangling incentive systems. So I really appreciate your situation. Your state is going to be particularly bad, unfortunately. If you look at sort of the history of where you are, that's not a state I'd want to be in this environment. If you have the ability to check out, there are clusters in Texas and Tennessee and the Dakotas that I would check out if you can. And I'll see if I can't send more about that. Hi, Catherine. Background, entrepreneur for 40 years, and then you go into a detailed description of what's going on with COVID-19 and your take on the timing and the possibility of another more pathogens being released that will dovetail what's in the vaccine and cause a lot of death and sickness. I think that's a reasonably good chance. It's definitely a possibility. You know, my feedback from the old timers, as I've described before, was that the people who died in the Spanish flu were the ones who got the vaccination. So it would certainly dovetail with sort of what I believe has happened historically. You say, how do we avoid or escape this? I don't know that there is a way to avoid or escape this. Here's our challenge. If enough people fall prey to the propaganda and go along with a story, then the people who don't go along are in for a world of hurt or even death. So as I've said before, death is not the worst thing that could happen. My take is we have ultimately, if the propaganda really works to herd all the sheep into the slaughterhouse, then our choice is going to be slavery or death. And I keep saying death is not the worst thing that could happen here. There's no way the few can do this to the many unless the propaganda and the mind control are phenomenally successful. And right now, in many places, it looks like that is the case. Although it's funny, you hear people saying everybody's in a trance, but then when you look at the real resistance to vaccinations or other provisions, it seems to be much stronger. You ask what countries will not mandate vaccines and allow refuge. I don't know, because it's going to be a political food fight if prime ministers and leaders don't do what the crew that wants this do. There'll be assassinations, there'll be dirty elections, there'll be also, I mean, this is going to be real trench warfare country by country. And as we just discussed in Money Markets, which we'll publish this week, the IMF is now being authorized to issue more SDRs, and that's going to be running around the world buying everyone in. So it's one of the reasons when I built my base camp in Tennessee, I kind of committed to a nomadic life. Because when you have global organized crime being lawless everywhere, there's a need to duck and run. And so there is no way to know or predict how this thing could go. It's fluid. It's as fluid as it can get. Can we get to one of these countries by Freedom Airway? Cahill is trying to build an airline that can operate without the injection fraud. And we have no idea. So this is a war, and needless to say, it's unbelievably fluid. And the scenarios of what can happen are tremendous. And that's why anything you can do to remove yourself from people and institutions who are on the other team and develop and strengthen your network with people who want to be free and understand what that means, it would be, you need to do it. So the biotech war machine is certainly, it's on the warpath. Has anyone else come across this disturbing film called Songbird? And you describe it. It sounds perfectly dreadful. There are times, I'm not going to watch it. A lot of times I'll watch the really negative ones because they can be predictive of different scenarios. Sometimes I feel these things are truly demonic and you don't want to let that get that in. I keep having people that try to get me to read the Protocols of Zion. And a couple times I've really tried to do it. And then I realized, no, this is too demonic to allow into your mind and spirit. And I just throw it away. Hi, Catherine. Do you think we can find a way to stop the lies about COVID and the deaths? I think there are ways to stop the lies about COVID and the deaths. It depends on how many people organize to do it, particularly find each other and organize to do it. The more each one of us push back, the harder it's going to be. So they're trying to build momentum, and that's why it's good to push back. Is there any way to hold them to account? Yes, science and facts matter. It's hard work to constantly bring the facts back and present them. But it does work. It does make a difference. And it's trench warfare. Right now, there's a huge shriekometer push. And it seems sometimes invincible. But if you turtle back, we put up a great letter from one of the subscribers and some letters that took place out in the state of Washington. So if you look at what citizens are doing, they're pushing back. If you can get attorneys or you're an attorney and you're willing to litigate, I absolutely think holding the newspapers accountable for disinformation is very important. But you have to do a great job of collecting up the facts. One thing you can do, the Ohio Stands Up lawsuits, which you can link to from the Take Action Crowdfund, have collected up a lot of material, a lot of evidence, and they're encouraging lots of other people, citizens and attorneys, to use them. No public official and no health official can do things to harm your business without scientific evidence. And they don't have it. I mean, look at this.
Even if you look at the CDC statistics.
As history, first I did not believe the pandemic, but then I got very ill in early February and became a believer.
I continue to believe everything until... Now, here's what you need to know about what happened to you. If you look at all the protocols that on early intervention, heal whatever is going around, including in early February, which is when I got a really, I won't even describe it as a flu because it felt much more like the low-grade biological warfare I used to
deal with in Washington. It was really a weird feeling thing. But if you look at all the protocols that work on early intervention, whether it's hydroxychloroquine or I can never pronounce it, ivermectin, there are too many protocols that work quickly and easily with early intervention. And so nobody really had to be sick for very long. After my research, I thought I could find a way to help people down my path to enlightenment, but I can't seem to break through. When I send video, they sometimes thank me and seem to understand, but later the fear comes back over them. So here's the thing. If they're watching TV and ingesting a huge amount of digital media, they're much harder to reach. So Dr. Christine Northrup apparently the other day said, you know, my goal is not to wake people up who are in a trance. My goal is to wake up sleeping lions. So you really want to focus on getting, not trying to persuade people who are in the trance or in the cult, but finding the people who aren't and start working with them to take action. Because it's much more important that you build resiliency for you and your family right now, than it is to help people who are in the trance and are unlikely to come out. Feedback. I stumbled upon you recently, and I have to say I feel relieved to discover you. Anyway, so this is a lovely note of thank you. I really appreciate it. It really cheers our team up to read these things. Then a complaint about the sound quality on Money and Markets. That was my fault. The backup didn't work properly, and so we ended up having to use my version of the Zoom recording, and it really wasn't that great. I'm so sorry, but my bad. I'm right now watching your interview with Rainer Fulmuck. Isn't he wonderful? I'm thrilled to see two of my favorite people in the struggle. And then you offered some help with translation, and I'm going to be back to you on that. I very much appreciate it. Then a great question from Philly. I grew up in Philadelphia. My significant other is the grandson of Marty Otter, who is the treasurer of Local 301 Union waiters, waitresses, and bartenders in Philadelphia. Ray Churchy was the president of Local 301. My significant other's name is John Poopert. He wants to know if you knew his grandfather or Ray Tucci. I'm enjoying the Slurry Report so far and learning how to use it. Thanks for your wonderful introduction to the website. I really appreciate that. I was a bartender in several places in Philly, but they were non-union. My father, though, who was a surgeon at Penn, was very close to the bartenders at the faculty club. They used to all go to the Phillies game. They had like a cabal that would go to the Phillies game together. And I'm wondering if they were union, because it wouldn't surprise me if my father knew some of these, you and your other's relative. I love great people in the unions in Philadelphia. Could you please say or print the date of the video you were doing at the beginning? I file my videos by date and would appreciate eliminating a hunt. Okay, so I sent that to the video team. We'll discuss that, and I appreciate the input. Thought I would let you know that both yesterday and today, I've been receiving replies from you on my old posts. So we had a ghost in the WordPress machine that suddenly sent out replies to anybody had ever posted in subscriber input for several years. It was beyond weird. I got hundreds of emails, as you can imagine. And I apologize. We're still trying to figure out, you know, was it a hack or was it just some glitch in the software? So can't tell you how much time we spend on shadow work these days with glitchy software, but I apologize profusely. I know you're always concerned about IT security. Well, here's the next cliff. So you sent something on AirGap. Actually, that's an old story. This has been a problem for many, many years. I discussed it on Bitcoin about how to keep something offline in a wallet and protect it from AirGap. I strongly recommend you watch the documentary on the Stuxnet virus. We did it in Let's Go to the Movies. I'll see if I can dig out the link, but it's sort of on the NSA Israeli operation with the Stuxnet virus, and you hear and see some pretty interesting information from an NSA person on the air gap problem. Catherine, I just stumbled across your lovely prayer book. So that's a note from somebody who enjoyed the prayer book. And if you go to your account on the website, you can see a link to the prayer book and you can download it if you would like. Or just ask if you'd like a hard copy. We're happy to mail a complimentary one to you. The 2011 TV series, The Event, is worth a look. And then there's a long description of it. This looks really interesting. I have never, you know, I don't have a TV, and this one I didn't pick up on. I'll sometimes pick up on them because they're serialized on online. But this one definitely looks interesting. It was what's unique in the mythology. Human-looking aliens crash on Earth in the mid-40s. Some were captured and imprisoned. Others mingled with the population. Some breeding with humans to create hybrids. To return to their home planet, they helped humanity discover new technologies, including nuclear, which they use in Stargate's portals. Thanks to advanced math, they can predict stock market cycles. One of their leaders builds a financial empire hiding behind a proxy, a famous human trader in the Midwest. They age very slowly, no visible changes in half a century, and are immune to many diseases which affect humans. Would appreciate TV movie recommendations on near human aliens or cousins, as Joseph P. Farrell says. I should do that. I will tell you one thing, though. I was at a presentation with Whitney Strieber and his wife. He was the New York Times bestselling author who wrote, Communion, and had abduction experiences, and quite an amazing man. I sometimes do his radio show. Anyway, somebody in the audience asked him the question, do any of the movies on aliens convey what it's like to be in the presence of an alien? And they asked the question, and then Whitley thought and thought and thought for the longest time. He's a very thoughtful guy. And then he said, no. And there was a long silence. And so the questioner said, why not? And then Whitley thought and thought and thought. And then he said, I cannot find words in the English language to describe to you what a strange feeling it is to be in the presence of an alien. And what I felt him say was that our electromagnetic reality is so completely different from their electromagnetic reality that it's a mind-boggling experience. And then I remember thinking, maybe this is true. Anyway. Okay, let's turn to questions on the Going Direct Reset. Hey, Catherine, I enjoyed listening to your uploads today. My question is, when the stock market crashes soon, would it be wise to invest, or do you speculate the stock market will be a dead horse? I don't know that the stock market will crash soon. That's certainly one scenario. And it's one of the reasons I always prefer in a market this extraordinary to have hedged equity. I much prefer hedged equity in something that is this. Any market that can take a 35% dive is a matter of course. I don't like to take those kind of dives unless if I had plenty of capital and was long-term. And I like to know, what I own and why I own it. So if my capital was just totally long-term, I would have no process living through those dives. But otherwise, I like the hedged equity, even though it can be very expensive drag in a bull market. But don't assume this is going to crash, because Titus and I talked about this in Money and Markets, which we'll publish Thursday. If this is a market where they're getting a ton of cash so that they can turn around and have a shopping spree at our expense, disaster capitalism, the market may not crash. They'll finish destroying and wiping out Main Street. But, Planet Equity can continue under some circumstances. Other circumstances could have a nuclear war and everything could go to hell in a handbasket. Now, the market has survived several world wars and traded through. And that's, I think, likely to happen unless we go to complete totalitarianism. But from everything I see, Mr. Global is playing the Planet Equity card, is how I describe it. So I think you have scenarios where the market could be down 50 to 75%. You have other scenarios where it could be up another 50%. Is the forced vaccination plan really about AI and chipping us to the blockchain? The long-term prospects for humanity look pretty bleak right now. See the video from an Australian subscriber that I'm going to have them post in Sleary in the News. It's called The Final Inch. You decide. I'm absolutely convinced they're trying. I mean, Moderna called their injection the software of life in January 2020. What is there that's not clear about that? Now Bill Gates is saying, we need three, quote unquote, vaccinations. So now if you look at this, this is an experimental gene altering thing. And if you look at the fact that they won't tell us 100% of what's in it, do I believe they're trying to inject the software of life, as Moderna calls it? Absolutely. Do I believe that Pfizer has a long history of fraudulent marketing? Huge settlements with the Department of Justice for fraudulent marketing? I think that's their business model. But watch The Final Inch and you decide. I mean, look at the facts that we know. You decide. Catherine, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you do. I'm tempted to post a link to Planet Lockdown on my neighborhood social media. There would be no way to make the post anonymously. Do you think that would be safe or unsafe for me and my family? It depends on your local group. One way, if you're nervous about it, is to simply post it with a question. Has anyone seen this video? Someone just sent it to me and I'm looking for other records. You have plausible deniability. I'm just asking questions. That's my favorite thing, unanswered questions. On stopping financing our enemy, to individually stop paying taxes seems like Harry Carey. Yes, I agree. This is something that must be very organized, and I'm working on a paper now, which I hope to publish in the first quarter wrap-up. So I agree with you. The question is, can we organize something? Is Putin really not going along with the Great Reset? He's clearly not fully in alignment. Now, part of it is, if you look at the effort to layer on more controls, more military around Russia, more sanctions, there's been a big back and forth between Russia and you're possibly putting on more sanctions. But if you haven't watched Putin's Davos speech, I strongly recommend it. So there's clearly serious conflicts, but particularly one of the things he says is, you know, Russians hold family near and dear. And of course, the clear going direct reset and the sort of distraction coming out of Davos is exceptionally anti-family. It's anti-human, it's anti-life. And it's very much contradictory to the teachings of the Russian Orthodox Church. Then somebody wrote a question about the military coup in Myanmar and point out that they threw out the central banker. That is very interesting, and I thank you for bringing that to my attention. I hadn't noticed that, and I will dive in and see if I can figure out what happened. This one is pretty gross, fake meat for all. Bill Gates has been talking about how all countries should move to 100% fake meat. Now, he is the number one largest owner of farmland, publicly announced farmland in the United States. And I think, you know, the reason he's buying up the farmland is so he and his friends can have meat and they can shut off real meat to the rest of us. Unfortunately, you're watching Bill Gates just come out like a flaming, it's just one lie after another. You know, it's just, he's flaming and blossoming. You know, it's sort of like a lie machine that's blossoming and in your face every time you turn around. And this is another one. And unfortunately, it speaks to the hubris. The more they think their propaganda is working, the more hubris and cult-like they get. And unfortunately, this thing about, you know, everybody should eat fake meat is, that's not just Bill Gates. He's just their Muppet selling, you know, selling what's next. So I think they're, you know, the cult is seeing how far they can get away with this stuff. Local gatherings, a question about Toronto. We have a great group there in Ontario. I wish you could have gone to the event we had in Toronto in 2019. I don't know what the status is of gatherings, but if we have one in that area, you'll be contacted. But there are a lot of great and very hip subscribers in that area. So I'll talk to Darlene and see what the possibilities are. It's funny, we get a lot of people saying they want to host gatherings, and then we send out the email saying, you know, so-and-so is willing to host a gathering. People don't want to go. It's kind of strange, but we're just going to keep doing it. Hi, Catherine. So a question about Slary Circles. If you go to Unpacking Your Financial Ecosystem in the library, there is a link called Unpacking Your Financial Ecosystem Links and Resources. And way at the bottom, we have all the old links up on the Slary Circles. I'm going to pull it out and start talking about Slary Circles because I think it's really time we circled up. Recommended links. So somebody recommended a Dark Horse podcast. That's from Brett Weinstein, who's really very terrific and does some great work. Then another person recommended Canopy, which is a subscription service you can get through the library that has a lot of independent and thoughtful movies. And that's a great thing to know about. I checked with Nina Hein, who writes Our Food for the Soul, and she has the app and says, yes, it's very good for finding good, including old documentaries. So she very much appreciated that. I thank you for posting. Where would I look for your recent video interviews that you've given over the last 2 months? If you look at events and interviews, if you go to About and drop down and go to events, you can see all the sort of recordings I've done. And that we try and link from events to those, but if we don't, you can always pick them up in a search. I would generally check BitChute, just do a search for my name in BitChute, and I would check USA Watchdog. I'm about to do another USA Watchdog with Greg Hunter. So I would check USA Watchdog. I would check the Corbett Report. I would check Dark Journalist. I try and regularly do, those are three I regularly do. Question, Antifa is still redirecting to the White House Gov. Whitehouse.gov site. This is very strange. No, because Antifa was an op designed to get the Biden administration in. Then somebody had a long post about high strangeness about missing children. And then a question about Trump and FASB 56 and whether Trump was doing it to help the good guys. If you look at the undocumentable adjustments that occurred, we're going to do a publish an interview with Dr. Mark Skidmore about the missing money and the sort of reports of missing money from 2016 to 2020. I can't come up with a scenario where FASB 56 can be reconciled with a hypothesis of, you know, helping the good guys. One thing I would really encourage you to understand is the President of the United States is a position that has remarkably little power. And the notion that FASB 56 can go forward and somehow Trump has the power to... Any president of the United States is a prisoner of the red button problem. That's number one. And if you don't understand the red button problem, just do a quick video search and watch my video on the red button problem. But the other thing is, the president of the United States is surrounded by a group of Secret Service, and what we know from the Kennedy assassination is those guns point outwards, but they also point inwards. The Secret Service was clearly complicit in the assassination of John F. Kennedy. So the presidency is remarkably limited in its power, and that's why it's one of the reasons we find ourselves in a corner is for the last 20 elections, Americans didn't pay attention to controlling each one of 3,100 counties, because then we would be much better off than we are. So the way you control Washington is one county at a time, 3,100 counties, one at a time. And if we ignore who gets to control those counties one at a time, then the presidential campaign is nothing but entertainment. So it matters who the president is. So would I much prefer Donald Trump to Hillary Clinton? You bet. But if you think real change can come by voting for one faction of the pro-centralization team versus the other, then that is nothing but reality TV show that's going to distract us and stop us from making the real changes. If we had all created local financial liquidity locally and local food locally, we would not be in the corner. So we're in the corner because we ignored doing what we could do to protect ourselves on the real power lines. And I just think you got to let go of caring about... This is a reality TV show that everybody gets sucked into and wastes an enormous amount of time and money on. And I'm not saying it doesn't matter who the president is, but if you don't have local financial liquidity and you don't have local food, you are in a corner and the central bankers are going to control you, if not kill you. Let's get out of the corner and stop worrying about, I don't know, I get so frustrated. So I gotta shut up. Okay, take action. Hi, Catherine. You mentioned we should get passports as fast as possible, but I have a toddler child who is completely unvaccinated, and we live in a state where you don't have to give notification to homeschool, so I'm trying to keep my son off-grid and off-radar, so to speak, until he's at least 16, and I feel like getting him a passport puts him out there. I don't know. What do you think? I totally agree. That's what I would do. I would rather keep him off the radar. Take action example. I've requested to be removed from this. Somebody sent me posted an email from their local school district. It's totally frightening. And then I've just started to search for local attorneys and political figures who could be allies. A Freedom Cells Network ally who doesn't know of any asks, do you or anyone know of a website or something that helps me show one how to identify if their retirement funds are supporting criminal banksters and which funds are not, so we can move that money around accordingly? I don't imagine one has much, if any, control over one's retirement funds. And so it goes on. I've done a search for investment screening. I know you do that with Parvin Asset Management, which would be a paid activity. I'm waiting to hear about the funds he started. He's filed the fund. The fund is operating. I would talk to, if you're interested in what Parvin's doing, I would definitely talk to them. Okay, that's it. Great questions, great comments. Lots in the show notes that we'll post with Ask Catherine. So again, any questions that came in after Tuesday midday or late day, we'll go to next. Actually, do we have an Ask Catherine next week? No, we do not. That's the last week of the month. So they'll pop over to March the 4th. And so thank you for joining us on Ask Catherine. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great evening. Good night and good luck.